Coffee table books often feature photos of wild, pristine places, but there's a new coffee table book dedicated to a landscape closer to home, one not often associated with natural beauty. Local photographer Krista Schleyer spent the past 8 years on the project.
I like the idea of giving this sort of supermodel treatment to the Anacostia, you know, because that's what this river was. I mean, this river was a paradise.
WAMU environment reporter Jacob Finston spoke with Schleyer about her book and about the history of the Anacostia River.
I paddled into the Bladensburg wetlands, where a thin crust of ice still covered the surface of the shallowest water, crunching lightly as my kayak passed.
Krista Schleyer, reading from her book River of Redemption. We met on the banks of the Anacostia. A flock of Canada geese pass overhead, a great blue heron stalks through the mud. But as we walk toward the river, we also see plenty of signs of humans, beer cans and water bottles, a muddy and broken dockless bike. Schleyer's photos reflect the juxtaposition.
You know, the photos where it's just this beautiful wildlife and these beautiful scenes on the river, I think give an idea of what was long ago and what could be again. I think that the photographs that show the degradation alongside this incredible beauty and wildness show more of the present and, you know, what we have and how the choices that we've made have taken something away from us.
You start the book sort of writing about being under the Route 50 bridge. You know, that's a bridge I drove over this morning and was thinking about this, how you can kind of catch a glimpse of the river beneath you, but can very easily just drive over it. And you talk about how many people are kind of unaware of the role that the river's played in the city's history and the role that, you know, we have played in its current state.
The river in general, you know, when John Smith arrived, you know, by all accounts, it was up to 40 feet deep, crystal clear, just filled with wildlife. And there were people living along it that the river was their life. You know, it was everything to them. There was a story that I read that a lot of Algonquin people, and this was an Algonquin-rooted tribe, that when a baby was born, the very first thing that they would do, no matter the season, was to dip it into the river. That kind of connection to the river, like, it's just unimaginable today. You know, to have so much changed in 400 years is astounding. But the reason why it changed was because, you know, this country, essentially, a lot of it was built in the early years on tobacco. The funding, all of the money that went into the economy, the early colonial economy and the American Revolution, came from this destruction of this place. And was built on the back of this river and the people who were forced to fell the forests and plow up the land. And the heron. Maybe if we can recognize the role that the river played and the harm that we did to it in order to build the city and the nation, maybe we would find more motivation to heal it.
Did you actually go in the river?
I did. Yeah, I felt that it was important. We understand our world by touch in a lot of ways. And this, our relationship with the river is broken in so many ways. But one of the ways it's broken is that we can't even touch it. And just to me, psychologically, that was a problem.
What was it like going in the water?
It was warm. It was July, so the it was very, very warm, and it was up on the Northwest Branch. So I just sort of waded in from a fish ladder, and the bottom was very squishy. I wondered what was down there. But it was fantastic because I was in there and just sort of looking at my feet, and all these fish came and started nibbling at my toes, and it just felt good to have a connection with the river.